The following podcast contains adult language and themes. Listener discretion advised.
The 24-hour news cycle, social media clickbait, sensationalism, and the constant news feed updates. When there are unlimited sources and unending content, it's not surprising that most of us have fatigue when it comes to the news. Add on to that the mouthpiece is pumping out disinformation, and we have quite the mess on our hands. How do we ensure that we're getting quality, verified information? And more importantly, how do we stay informed, but also prioritize our mental health? And this just in, we have an awesome panel to help us unpack this topic for this episode, and that is not fake news. I'm your host, Matt, and this is the Going There podcast.
Stop with the doom scrolling and put down your phone. It's time for Going There. Taboo topics are back on the table.
Fresh off the presses, we got a really great show for you guys here, and we have some callbacks to season one with some of our guests, but let's introduce our panel, starting with our brand new face and voice on this show. I'm going to call her Dr. Y.
Okay, hello. I'm Dr. Jen Yensel. I own the Cole Center, and I know a lot about psychology. That's why I'm here.
We found her on the street. She had a sign, "Will podcast for food."
You know, times are hard, guys. Times are hard.
All right. So I'm Jan Leach. I'm an emeritus professor of journalism from Kent State University. Emeritus means I retired and they gave me an honorary title. I taught news, news writing, copy editing, and mostly media ethics.
And you also have a background in journalism teaching.
Right. I was the editor and vice president of the Akron Beacon Journal most recently before I went to Kent. And so I really had a long term in newsrooms and a short term in classrooms.
And she was my college professor, at least for one class, and the one I didn't fail. And she was on season one. And those of you who have a fond memory of that episode, she was calling us from her car. And we said, times are really tough in academia these days. And also returning from season one is Catherine.
Yeah, Catherine Bosley. I am a longtime anchor and reporter, and I got my education from Kent State University. Yes. Go Flashes. I'm also a speaker, and although I still work freelance in TV news, my big thing right now is coaching others around the country how to do TV news and how to do the whole on-camera thing. So that's kind of my gig.
Again, she was in season one. She told a really good story about basically online privacy, trolling, and all of the sexism that kind of happens in that side of it. And I'm not going to tell you the whole story because you have to go back and watch it in season one. And of course, you guys all know my friend from Kent State University.
Oh, yeah.
This is like a bad alumni commercial.
My name is Chris B. Harris, and I'm a spokesperson, aka a communications manager.
Let's start with, and without going too far down the rabbit hole, how would you define your daily or weekly consumption of media?
I mean, I think it depends. I think it depends on what's going on. It's like if you're sick, like how much time do I spend in bed? Like it depends if I'm healthy or it depends if I'm sick. It depends on, there's like a bazillion different variables. So
you would say that you personally don't have like a standard level of consumption of media?
No, I don't think so. I have limits. I have alerts on my phone that say, "Hey, boo! Like you've been on your phone. You spent this much time on social media."
Are you okay? Are you still breathing?
Yeah,
press
I want
one.
Those alerts to be more mindful. So I don't think I think maybe that's something that I try to model what I practice. You know, as the therapist is, you know, it's something. Anything that we do is it's more valuable when it's intentional. You know, food is available 24 hours a day. How do you moderate the availability to food 24 hours a day? I don't know about you, but I have access to food in my house 24 hours a day. And so social media is the same thing. So how do you know? I don't need it, right, every day. So how do you know? And I would say it's variable. I think I was talking to somebody when you're doing, like during COVID, it was a lot more, you know?
Yeah.
So I think I would say it's a variable, but I certainly don't have a minimum where I'm like, gosh, you know what? It's really important that I spend this time on TikTok today.
Yeah. Well, Jan used to...
You guys can convince me otherwise.
Jan used to dock us points when we didn't read the headline. She quizzed us every class.
News quizzes are very important for journalism majors, I'm just saying.
I think what the doctor just brought up is very important. Like, how do you know? And one of my tools that I use is once I start feeling maybe jealous or insecure, that's when I know I probably need to take a step back from social media or whatever type of media that I'm consuming, because I really try to be intentional about what I put into my body.
Yeah.
Right? We try to be intentional about what we eat. And I think we can look at media the same way because we're feeding our brain, right?
Yeah.
I think it's interesting that the question is how much news consumption?
Yeah.
Was that question?
Well, it was much or what kind of content or, yeah.
And how we go right away into news consumption,
social media.
Yeah. So it's interesting how those two are really interconnecting these things and alarming.
Alarming. Alarming's the word I would use, but also totally understand why your brains went there.
Mm-hmm. And how do you differentiate news? I think of news, I think of watching TV.
Right.
Oh, but good. Maybe that's because
you're
more.
It's because
we're old. We can say that because we're the same age.
Yeah. Where do people get their news? A lot of people get it from social media.
Yeah.
Again, alarming.
Which sadly is alarming,
yes.
Right?
Yeah. Sadly. Yeah.
I think Jan and I both really agree on this.
Completely. Right. Yeah.
Jan, how about you? I mean, news you obviously lived media.
I lived it and I still live it. And I'm so glad. I was thinking, oh my gosh, don't come to me at all. Just forget me for that question. So, Matt, you know this. I mean, I taught news. I was an editor, or I really feel like I had to know a lot about news. And so then I retired. But I also have, you know, a cell phone, an iPad, a laptop, and a TV in my bedroom. So, you know, my husband will get up and then it'll be me and I'll, you know, get up and I read the New York Times, the Washington Post, USA Today, the Akron Beacon Journal, my former paper.
Do you get any of them actually still paper form?
I do get the Beacon Journal and I do get the New York Times weekend edition.
Good.
So I do get that. But then I would go on Facebook and I would and eventually my husband said, you are doom scrolling, because it was pandemic,
yes.
Right? And he's like, you're doom scrolling and it's making you crazy, which means it's making him crazy. And so I got off of social media, meaning I just sort of ended all my accounts. So people are like, we can't find you on Facebook.
It was so hard to get her for this podcast. Where the hell do you go, Jan?
Yeah, I know, it's true. You know, and so anyway, I do consume a lot of news. I watch news. I watch news on TV. I watch news. I have a schedule like all day. I'm watching news till like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And then, you know, then I go to Spotify. What can I say? So I am probably the outlier. I still consume a huge amount of news. Mostly on my iPad.
But it makes sense because of your background.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a big part of who you are.
Yeah.
But it also has to be really heartbreaking to see where we're at in the world and kind of what Catherine's touched on. So let's at least for our viewers and listeners talk about kind of how we got here. You know, today we're talking about how do you stay sane and informed? I think it's vital as a person, as a citizen, as whatever you want to call it, to stay informed, to know what's happening in your world. My biggest pet peeve is somebody who complains about something but does nothing to change it or does nothing to even learn about why. It's like, who's doing this to me?
Right.
It's not the Greek gods. Like, there's people actually creating the problems in your world, but you can't bury your head in the sand and then wonder why has this happened? And I think that's why we especially see in the older generations a harder time of learning how to not only have good moderation, but media literacy in general, understanding what is the difference between opinion and fact.
Right.
Because they were raised in an era of print journalism where you could tell what a rag was and what a real valid piece of media was. Mm-hmm. And also, you had Walter Cronkite or you had the evening news, and that was it. And they read you the news. And then we saw in the 90s, the big push for that sensationalized, are your kids going to die from eating their Halloween candy? Find out at 6. And the answer is no.
Be coming from mostly the broadcast world.
And
sure.
The broadcast world took it to a whole new
yes.
level. And Jan, you saw in the print world where you used to be able to have your integrity and you could die on that hill to now you have to cowtail to the advertisers.
It's true. That is all true. You used to be able to invite news in. Like you could buy a paper, turn on the TV, you could rip things out and then throw the rest of the paper away. And now you have social media. So when I came here, I get alerts, I get push notices, I get all that stuff. I get those little things that come on my iPad. And of course I click on them, you know, like, oh my gosh, I got to stop this. And then I switch the channel. I mean, it's everywhere now. Now you really can't get away from it. So I'll be interested to hear, how can we get away from it? I think I'm probably going to be your best subject.
We brought her here for three therapies.
I'm so glad.
I mean, journalism is unfortunately becoming more and more about money, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And that is the issue. And I mean, it's always been somewhat a part of our business, but it is more and more. And the more we have social media, the more we have these other ways to learn news, the less people are watching their appointment TV, right? And so that means that, of course, TV news, regular newspapers, they're competing with all these other things. And so their advertising billing is going down a little bit because people are not watching as much. So the advertisers don't want to pay as much. So it's kind of a vicious circle. And then when that's happening, the TV stations, other media outlets, they have less money to pay their people to work. And that means you're going to get less experience.
And that's across the board. I mean, obviously, print journalism is at the scariest time that it's ever been.
Yeah.
But even broadcast, there's three people doing the jobs of what 20 used to do.
It's ridiculous. They have what we have now, what we call MMJs, multimedia journalists. We never had that when I started in the business. We had the photographer, the cameraman, or woman, the editor, the producer, the reporter, the anchor.
Jan, what did you always tell us we had to be? Backpack journalists.
Backpack journalists.
You got to have this arsenal of skills and hobbies and traits and all these things in your backpack to be able to be a competitive person in the workforce.
And that's the reality. You have to have that.
But so when you go out on a shoot,
it's also what's sad.
Are you filming yourself? Are you writing the copy?
I don't do it. I don't. I'm like, I'll work at McDonald's. I'm not doing
it. And that's work.
So, and I'm old enough and I've been doing it long enough where I can set my own parameters as far as that goes. I am a reporter and an anchor, and that's what I do.
Right.
So I am lucky when I do go out doing stories and on a freelance basis now, so not nearly as often, but I get a photographer and an editor. And so I love that. And I feel so bad because a lot of the people that I work with that are young in the business, my clients, that I coach to do it, they do everything and they are committed. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, backpack journalism is something you have to have if you want to get into this business.
Yeah, it's like making a podcast and also shooting it and editing it yourself. I mean, it's terrible. Who would want to do that? And you know, it's funny too, because what you just mentioned, Catherine, if you were to ask an average Gen Zer, let's say even adult Gen Zer, like, who do you get your news from? It used to be a who question, right? Mm-hmm. Or at least where. I'm not a betting man, but if I had some money, I'd say it's from a social influencer or something other than a news source. And I want to real quickly talk about why that's bad, right? Mm-hmm. You guys can especially speak to the fact of the amount of hoops you have to jump through to make sure that you're not going to get sued, to make sure that the story is fact-checked. And that's one thing that I don't think a lot of people who are constantly screaming at the top of their lungs fake news understand the hoops you have to jump through as a journalist to actually print something or broadcast something where you can stand behind it. I mean, it's a crazy amount of work.
There's ethics and laws for traditional media.
Yeah.
And it's very
sad. For traditional media.
That which means nobody cares about.
Not online. That means not cable.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of people who get traditional media sources anymore. So COVID happened and we're all stuck at home and we have nothing to do and we're isolated. So we go online, we're getting our news online. And especially during COVID, there's no good news happening. And how did that affect each of you? How did it impact you? I'll say for myself, I started out going like, oh, we're all in this together. And then when I realized, oh, no, we're not. Like, we all want to kill each other. I had to unplug at one point. I actually had somebody give me advice. They're like, Matt, I love what you're trying to do and you're trying to put good out in the world, but you're gonna drive yourself crazy and you're no good to anybody. Mm-hmm. So just unplug and chill out.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important. You have to protect your energy, right? And I think COVID really showed us just how important it was to protect that energy. We're seeing a lot of the same information multiple times throughout the day. And I know for me, I would just have to take breaks where I just had to turn the TV off because it was just going to make me upset or make me very fearful during a time where I think we all were probably pretty scared about what was happening.
And this is coming from somebody who lives in the world of death and bad news.
Every day.
Share that real quick because the rest of the panel doesn't know that.
So I'm a spokesperson for the Cuyahoga County Medical Examiner's Office. So I often tell people that my day starts with death. That's usually one of the first things that I see. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of the decedents that come through our office, you know, they die very untimely and unnatural deaths. We get a lot of natural deaths, but we're looking at homicides, we're looking at overdoses, we're looking at suicides. So that's the imagery that I'm seeing pretty much immediately once I get to the office. And then to add in the news on top of that, it can be very difficult. So when I'm reading about a homicide case, I'm also seeing the news story about that case, and it can just be overload. And if I don't protect my energy and myself, then I'll just get burned out.
Oh, I think that's great advice.
I mean, do too. I wrote advice. It down. Protect your energy.
Protect your energy. Love it.
Such a good quote.
Thank you. Yes. Amen to that.
The psychologist is taking notes over here.
I appreciate that.
What's that? Protect your how do you spell that?
Yeah. Love it.
You're exactly right. And we were all watching the death toll like it was a fantasy league. You know, it's like, oh, you know, who's on the waiver wire this week? It's like, how many people are going to be dead? How many people are they going to be reporting? And that was miserable, but it was hard to, at least for those, you know, that chunk of time, those months when we were first really in it, it's hard to think of anything else.
Yeah.
Dr. Y.
Yes, hi.
You probably went virtual with all of your patients.
Absolutely.
This had to be a major theme that you were seeing across the board.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, I mean, there's two parts of me. There's a therapist, and then I'm an educator as well as a professor. But then I'm a mom. And I think I feel like I was seeing a lot of clients struggle with being home. But also, I feel like I had a role model for my family and also for my clients. So I feel like that really maybe helped me get through that. We get the New York Times print every day. And so.
Bougie.
I know. That was my husband's idea,
I'm
but it's a support.
I'm in the wrong profession.
Well,
get that therapy money.
But to support journalism, right? And right. The integrity of that. That was his. I can't take any credit.
I didn't know this about you, but now, I mean, thank God you're on the right panel here. There's just not a big appreciation for actual
yeah.
journalism.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and it's not something you tell everybody because then people are like, oh, so you're a liberal.
Yeah.
And you're like,
the
oh
New
my
York
gosh.
Lies. You read the what? New York lies.
Yeah. And so there's
that's
so,
a whole
it's so
other
heavy
show,
even yeah. with how yeah. you get yeah. your oh. news that feels like there's this judgment. But with COVID, I think I was, you know, I don't know, like side note, like my family and I have four kids. We lived on the road for a month. So we got an RV and we drove and we didn't have any media. We didn't have anything. And we just
sounds wonderful.
We tried and it was hard. Listen, it was crazy, but it was more of like what is important. And we know that like it was getting like, you know, a couple months into COVID. But I think with the media, ultimately what we decided to do is that what is our priority? And we had to look as our own cohort and even with clients, like, what is your important? Are you waiting to go to the next step? We don't know when this is going to go over. So how do you want to live the life? And so for us, we decided we'd set that limit and we watched a certain show at the end of the day without our kids. And then we'd, you know, fill in the day, be like, what's going on? I think a lot of it was like, what was the intention? Why were we watching every day? Why were our clients? And I think we're wondering, is this going to be over? And I'm like, right. Listen, I think we're all going to know. I don't think you need to be on the TV or on your phone at 1 o'clock on a Tuesday to find out that, you know, how did they lock down was released. I'm pretty right. sure word's going to spread. And so just being able to trust that, you know, there's that you don't need to be the first person to know. You will know, you know, from plenty of things, from plenty of people that, you know, we don't have to be on high alert when we can go. How do we enjoy our life with what we have rather than waiting for that next alarm to sound? Because what we were finding, the people were waiting, when can we get out? When can we get out? And then it was just death. more death, another symptom, don't see people. And so it's just a really like shifting what are your priorities in life, but also not letting that control your life. Because ultimately, you know, that new, our focus on COVID has largely, we can say, ended. The pandemic, I wouldn't say, I don't think it's over. People are getting COVID still. But now we're not folks spending our whole time looking on the news at COVID.
Sure.
What we are seeing is that having a hard time shifting their energy outside of that constant waiting for something bad to happen, that doom scrolling. But also, there's a lot of fucking doom.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, and so just being able to know when did you have a hard time at work? When can I handle that? And there's so many layers to taking information. And so how do we kind of section that time off of when do I need, what is my intention? And I think, sure, COVID maybe enhanced a lot of that, but I think that's something we all need to learn how to manage now.
Yeah.
With anything in our life.
Well, and part of the problem with all of that was it wasn't all about, more so than ever in the last 10 years, even 6 years, we've seen the rise of opinion news, right, in quotes, and people who started to decide that this opinion was more important than this data over here. And I think that created the rift that made it, I don't know if we can come back from it.
I don't know either. It's heart-wrenching for people who are truly journalists. It's heart-wrenching because there's so much misinformation that no one knows if there's any real information out there.
It's true. Are you watching? I mean, now there's some campaigning going on. An election coming up. And, you know, I'm sorry. I listen to it on the news and then I go, wait, he didn't answer that question.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this is all just exactly, yeah. Right? So, or the commercials. And I used to have that assignment, you may remember, but it'd be kind of like take an ad and analyze it and see what's really behind this accusation or, yeah, you know, like this thing. Well, people will listen to it and they will not ask the same questions. They're not asking those discerning
questions.
They take
it as gospel.
They take it as gospel. So like, wait. That quote that you see on that screen came from and you look underneath and it's like, came from a 2015 interview with somebody.
Yeah, it was about how your McDonald's was outside of the burger stand. It said, so this place sucks. And they're like, he hates America.
It's so much what Catherine says. It's so odd to think like me, and you know, I used to give tons of speeches all over about fake news. What it is, what it isn't, what's right, misinformation, all that kind of stuff. And then have every, like my own neighbor say, but I heard this. Ugh, and, you know, they're just counting COVID cases because the hospitals get more money. I'm like, I think that's, you know.
And I totally get, like, we all want to buy into what we already believe. And that's human nature, right?
Yes.
But, I mean, that's what I love about journalists, because you will meet journalists from each side of the aisle. And it doesn't matter where they come from. They all agree on what's fact and what's not. Even if it doesn't, you know, affirm their own beliefs, they'll still agree. And,
right,
and like watching some of these things where the people who were in Trump's camp, for example, who were like, no, he lost the election. Like this was turned down. Like that gave me hope that people, even if they wanted him to win, like that they were willing to say like, this is truth.
Right.
It's scary when people cannot get past their own feelings and emotions. And I'm sure you deal with that a lot.
It keeps me in business for sure, man.
Keep watching the news and then call Dr. Y.
I think that lack of curiosity, right? The journalist, like being curious about things. And I think that's, I don't know if there's a correlation, but if we can't be curious about ourselves and be introspective, how can we be curious and self-reflective about what we're hearing? And, you know, we can believe what we want to believe in any capacity, and that seems dangerous.
Right. And here's something to consider, too, with news, because I can't tell you how many times people have asked me, why do you just go focus on the bad stuff? Why is it all bad, bad, bad? And my answer to that is that the bad news, those are the rare things that happen, and that's what makes news. So if someone falls down at a restaurant, a whole bunch of people, good people, they're going to run to that person's aid, right? That's not going to make the news because that's just pretty much average stuff that happens, people being good. When bad things happen, that's not the norm. Right. So that's why that makes news.
Yeah.
And it's getting blown up to where for some reason, I believe from the last couple administrations, it started to get more and more, everything was more and more divisive and polarizing. Yeah. You know, if things are bad in society, is it because of this president? Or you know, we always are looking for blame and always looking at how each TV station, each media outlet is covering something and putting them in a certain political pod, and then not going to watch them because they're, you know, they're showing all these murders, and so they're basically saying that our president is bad. It's just amazing how things can just get manipulated, and instead of just understanding news is news on the traditional news level, and what we're reporting on, these are things that happen that are rare, they're out of the norm,
right?
And that's it. That's the bottom line. That's why it's news.
I used to tell people, and this is the simplest way I can. I even tell this to my kids now. So, you know, they're like, why is the news always bad? And I'm thinking, okay, when I came in here, Lindsay asked me, did you have any trouble getting here? And I said, no, but I turned the wrong way. So not news, right? But if I came in here and said, I had a flat tire, you'd be like, oh, that's interesting. That's new. That's newsworthy. You don't write about your three tires that worked perfectly.
Right.
You write about your one tire that went flat, right? Exactly. That is what makes news. So you had asked me in preparation for this, like, why do we have so much bad news? I think that's where we need you. We all need you, because I watch news all day long, and it's like, what? We have monkeypox now? What? There was a horrible hurricane in Florida, parts of which I visited many times. Like, oh my gosh, when is it ever going to end?
And it doesn't.
I know.
I mean,
right?
But it's been the same for as long as there's been news.
I know. And my husband and I watch the news, and he's a former journalist, now an attorney. Don't get me started. And it'll be like, let's guess what they're going to lead with. Let's guess, because we're both journalists. I mean, right. You know, journalists. Let's guess what they're going to lead with today. Or how often have we seen such and such a story? And it's like, maybe we watch too much news. So, but if you hear it, it's a constant drumbeat. And I'm used to it. I want it. I crave it. But I think most people are like, ugh, I have had enough of this, right?
I've had enough of it. As a journalist myself.
Jan's sitting on her front porch, like, shining her gun, just like, I love it. I crave it. Going to murder anyone who walks near me.
I'm just interested in how news is covered and that kind of thing. But I also recognize this, like, my own kids do not subscribe to those kinds of things. They're like, Mom, tell me about this. You know, and they all live away and they're all adults and two of the three are married. And it's like,
Jan, as an editor, I mean, you know that there was kind of a checklist of, as long as the story can be one of these things or more than one of these things, then it's newsworthy. Mm-hmm. Like oddity, right? Like you're talking about this rare circumstance.
Oddity, right.
You know, and what are some of the other things that you would look at?
Teach? Yeah. Oh, you know, proximity, timeliness, but then there's also hero stories.
Right.
You're looking for like all the good news, you know, like those kinds of things. Now I think people are like having too much of stuff. So now, I mean, the research I still see, which unfortunately I still do, is about solutions. People are looking for solutions. Mm-hmm. You know, so tell me about monkeypox, or tell me about the hurricane, or tell me about the upcoming election. What is my solution? What can I do?
Right.
So I'm so glad I'm sitting next to you, because I'm like,
we're all looking at you for the answers.
It's like, come on, jump in here. Tell me. Because I think that's where journalists have to go. They have to look at.
It's solution-driven journalism.
Solution-driven journalism.
It is becoming a trend now.
It is.
I know at my home station, we are really starting to focus on that.
Yeah.
Because it's about finding answers and making a difference, not just about blasting what's all wrong. Let's see how we, as viewers, we as journalists, can make a difference. Solution-driven. I think that's a great trend.
So I agree, but don't you think that solution-driven in moderation is good? Because the problem with trying to quick fix everything is not everything has a solution.
Sure, right. Sure.
And
I don't think it's a quick fix.
And a lot of times the solutions are not one size fits all.
No.
And I know that in watching it, they'll be like, well, and the easy way to deal with this, and usually it's to promote some other person who's on there with their book. It's like, I have the answers to all of this.
Right.
Dr. Y.
Obviously.
I think it can be problematic because it can... Yeah, we have to understand who our audience is. And let's be honest, our audience is pretty stupid across the board, right? I said it, you don't have to. So yeah, you have to spoon feed them some stuff and give them some solutions and make them feel good about it. But it's really sad that we live in a world where it's like, we can't just tell them what's happening and let them do some research and learn on their own and mm-hmm. come up with a solution. I'm not saying solutions are bad. They're absolutely right. great.
Oh, yeah.
But if we have to sugarcoat the stories or feed it to them in a way where we're giving them the answers, that's not really the news either. That's not what the purpose of the news might be.
No, but I think that because the whole reason we're here right now is we're talking about how damaging it can be to your energy, news, and now maybe journalists need to take some responsibility too and say, how can we start to change this trend a little bit and offer something positive and go in more of a solution direction in some cases? Yeah, and not every case you're going to be able to, but
no, I agree there are ways. That.
It's a call to action type of a deal.
I agree to that.
Yeah, I think a lot of people feel helpless and what can I do?
Yeah.
But I think there's, just like with anything, there's that balance. I think, you know, there's a difference of you watching the news because you're curious about how journalism and how that's, right? Or, you know, like how that's all done. I think it's very, it'd be very different if I was sitting and watching the news mm-hmm. all day. And so I think it's going to be very individualized of when do you notice that maybe your body's like, hey, like this is too much. Or when do you notice that you're not eating or that you're hypervigilant or you're not getting exercise or all of those things when it's not really fueling what you need.
Right.
You know, so I think it's not a one size fits all. It's just, again, that curiosity. How do I be curious about why am I watching the news right now? What is my intention? And why am I choosing the news over, you know, another episode of Friends or whatever that would be? Or just being able to sit quietly. And I think there's layers to this.
Or go for a walk or play with your kids or whatever.
Absolutely.
Yeah, get away from it. Yeah. It's addicting. It's an addictive. Just
absolutely.
Like our cell phones, there's an addiction to it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And the more you're getting fed, the more you are, that addiction is growing.
Yeah. There's a researcher, Gabor Mate, he talks about how 90% of us have an addiction, and that could be social media, it could be, you know, being really busy, it could be cleaning all the time. It's some sort of form of soothing that we all engage in, and there, I mean, there's a lot to dissect with that, but I think the consumption, right, if you're really addicted to it, you're not going to necessarily be discerning, right?
You know? Sure.
And so how do, that's a whole, I think, separate thing of, you know, I think about education about learning, I think is something that I think we're missing. You know, how do we know when we're looking at journalism? Mm-hmm. How are we looking, if we're looking at a 20-year-old kid, you know, tweeting about the world news.
Right, a non-fact.
Right,
that's
right.
A nice way of saying it.
Yeah.
Bullshit,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
We're the Wali Sangha, that's what we call ourselves.
Woo-hoo. Sangha.
Sangha.
We got some good news for you. The Wali Sangha is stepping into our musician spotlight for this episode. The Wali Sangha released their debut album, Big Ears, in 2019. Led by the multi-instrumentalist Alex Arif, the ensemble gleams a collective spirit, owed as much to Sun Ra's Cosmic Cool as Michael McDonald's Yacht Rock Bops. On the album Big Ears, there's a core roster of New York City jazz and R&B mainstays, mixed by Grammy Award-winning engineer Nick Hard. You can check them out at thewalisanga.com. That is the WALISANGA.com. So let me ask you guys this. I think one of the other big problems with it is, especially the people at this table, part of who you are, having that integrity of wanting to stay informed and know what the hell you're talking about. What kind of strife has it created for you in the world that you live in, whether it's family, friends? I know for me, one of the biggest things was just people coming to me and part of it's I'm a know-it-all, so I won't take nonsense for an answer. But also, when you're watching things happen, you know, if like if you're bleeding and your arm's falling off and someone's like, no, that's fake news. You're like, bro, my arm's falling off. I need a hospital. All hospitals, doctors are all liars. And the earth is flat. Yeah. So,
like, obviously, all are true.
Yeah. I mean, that's why you're here, just to reaffirm my nonsense. What have you guys experienced in, especially in the COVID time, with kind of strife in relationships?
I think for me, a lot of what I've realized is I have to sometimes correct people on the information they're like telling me about, but really they're kind of asking. And I think the biggest issue that I have with just the way journalism is right now is there seems to be a lack of context, especially when it comes to data and statistics. And I'm a data guy. So an example, you know, and this is just totally made up, but if I say 10 Beechwood residents were murdered, so we had 10 residents of Beechwood that, you know, died of a homicide. If I just say that, people might be like, wow, well, Beechwood, we don't get homicides. What's going on? But if I tell you that 9 of those cases, they happen in other cities, they were just residents of Beechwood, you see what happens?
Oh, yeah.
So I see this with a lot of headlines where I'll read something and I'm like, wow, that sounds terrible. But when I actually dive into it, it's misleading.
And that's the problem with the headlines.
That's the problem.
When they reel you in with that statistic.
Yeah. So things like that, a lot of times it's just trying to educate people on exactly what I'm seeing in the office, on the front line with our investigators.
So how do you do it without being condescending and a know-it-all asshole? I'm asking for my own purposes.
You just have to be real with them. It's about delivery, okay? It's about your tone.
Gotcha. But, I'll work on that. How about you guys?
Getting like information from people, like I think a good rule of thumb is I'm not going to try to be understood by somebody who isn't willing to try to understand me. And so, arguing me like, okay, well, I believe this. And I'm like, well, that is Cracker Jacks. Like, I'm like, are you interested in hearing another perspective? And if they're like, well, there's obviously no other perspective, I'm like, good to know. And I'm not going to waste my time kind of debating, because it's not, if they're not open to that, whether news is obviously really very clear, politics is a very good. But I'm not going to try to debate it. This isn't up for debate.
But so my experience is most of the people who would do that would also say, no, I'm very open-minded. Mm. I'm very objective.
Right.
Sure.
But, you know, if you tell me the earth's not flat, I just can't carry on.
I'd say, well, what questions do you have? Because I don't want to speak if I'm going to be dismissed. And again, that's kind of, for me, that's protecting my energy. Mm-hmm. But I feel like some people kind of like subconsciously kind of bait you. And I'm like, I am not here for that. I do not need anyone here to have my same worldview. I need to be in control of me as a person. Nothing better happens to me if I'm like, we are all the same. Like, I don't think that's the beautiful thing of life. I think that we can engage in that. And some people just aren't willing, but those same people are also not usually willing to be like, oh, I am closed-minded. I don't hear a lot of people being like, you know what? I have very rigid views on things.
Yeah.
And, well, so you have to kind of look at what, kind of observe and, you know, be careful who you trust.
But also consider ourselves not being open-minded, too, because there are some. So I'm of one political party. My husband is of the other. Makes for a great marriage. Yeah. around November time. But so we do find ourselves butting heads and not listening to each other. And that's. So I'm, of course, blaming him for not listening to me, but I am finding it this time around, I'm going to listen more to what he says. The problem is he doesn't reciprocate that. But I do believe that we are all guilty to some degree of not being open-minded enough to listen to what, not just what the other person is thinking on the other side, but why are they thinking that? You know, what has gotten them to this point where they believe that aliens are, you know, living in our cats or whatever, you know? I don't know where that came from,
By the end of the night, that will be on a blog post somewhere.
Headlines.
DrY.com is like, is your cat an alien? Tune in later tonight.
I love being misquoted. Yay.
I think you define marriage, actually, in that you indirectly define. We yell over top of each other. We won't listen to the other person. We both want to be right. That's marriage. But you're absolutely right. And I find it beautiful when people can be of opposite religions, political parties, whatever it may be. And
it's not beautiful.
I think it can be.
One of the things I always try to do with
the show is try to get people from different walks of life who have different experiences and different perspectives on things. The problem is we've become so divisive that we're on extremes. And I imagine both you and your husband are pretty left or right of center, because you
just
can't,
left or right of center. But for right. some, but for some reason, we accuse the other of being completely left or right. You know,
because it's not you; it's the media you're consuming. Because they have
exactly
the, everybody on the right thinks that the left is all like they're trying to let all the immigrants in, and they're trying to do this, and the left is looking at the right, going, they're all racist, and they all want to take us back to the Civil War. That's a perfect illustration of why it can be problematic. Is it because the media has, not the good media, but the media has let us believe that if you're not in my camp, you're my enemy?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it's like Browns versus Steelers. Right, I mean,
except for right now, we all suck. And so we're like high-fiving each other about how much our teams are terrible this year.
And I think something important to say when you're like, if it's a spouse, like, what's important about this? Seems like it's very important for you that I see your perspective. It seems like it's very important. Like, you want me to share your point of view. And what is, why is that? What is so important about that? And just really trying to get away from the actual
attack.
The topic, the attack, and then, I think just being curious. I think that's my motto with things, just being curious. It's like, I don't feel like you're really curious about what I'm saying. I feel like you're trying to convince me.
Right.
And so, what is important about this, that we can dialogue with anybody if we can be curious and try to understand, and that really de-escalates people.
Why is it you want me to put on face paint and rush the Capitol? Why? What? No, I'm just kidding. Exactly. I've said it from the very first episode of our first season, it's all about being curious. If you have a curious, open mind, the world can be a much more exciting, fun place. I just think it's really sad that we're at the place that we are, where some of that's been snuffed out by negativity and the divisiveness. And our season two theme is, I do believe we all are left or right of center. I do believe that the majority of us see things from similar views.
Most of us are rational.
Yeah,
truly.
But politics
speak for yourself.
And some of the fake media has put us at war with each other. And I think it's up to us as consumers to be responsible about it, to not waste your energy on bad things. I think each person is responsible for being informed with actual facts. And so when somebody does come in and talk about aliens being in cats or whatever your blog is, I love cats. I do think there's some kind of accountability, and it's not up to you to hold them accountable. So I do think it's good to be like, well, hey, listen, have fun driving to Crazy Town. You have a good day, But that person is, it's sad because not everybody can make that, decipher what actually is fact. But I do think that is each of us is responsible for knowing what's right and wrong, not spewing back out and regurgitating the things that we've heard, whether or not we want them to be true.
But you know what? We see that with the media sometimes too, where this website may just take what another website says according to this website, and there's no actual fact checking to see if that journalist actually did the research.
The word is reportedly.
And I think that's a really big issue. Just in the 10 years that I've been at the medical examiner's office, I've noticed some changes in just how certain organizations may hit me up repeatedly. Oh yeah, I also want to fact check this, this, and this. And then some are just like, here, just send me the stats. Send me the work, and they just run with that.
Oh, I've seen more in recent years than ever. People literally just reprinting press releases.
Oh, yes.
Verbatim. Yeah. Which that was, I feel like I'd never seen that before in my life up until last 10 years, maybe.
Yes. Yeah, it's a problem.
Well, I think it was always happening, but I think you're right. It's a problem. And that goes back to what you said about it has to do with there's fewer and fewer people in newsrooms. There are no copy editors. I don't think Ken even teaches that course anymore that I taught. So
the amount of typos and corrections that have to be posted afterwards.
And I don't know if people coming out of college today have never even heard of the word attribution.
Oh, correct. Oh, yes.
Oh my goodness.
Like, says who? And who are they to know? How does that person know? How is that person in a position to comment on this or say anything about the medical examiner's office or the statistics or anything like that? You know, people simply don't care about, you know, fact checking. And there's
needs
no
to be
one
a
to do it. There's
so why do
no
we think
to
that
do
is,
it.
Though? I mean, why do we think people don't care? Because they're not, there's no regulation.
Yeah, because you're less likely nowadays to get sued, you know, where it's not just cease and desist, because the amount of damage that's created because there's so many sources is so much less than it would be back in the day when there was, you know, a few staples.
Right. That everybody I don't think watched. People care about what it means to them to have sent out into the world or distributed something bad, something awful. I don't think people worry about that that much. Where, like, if it had been me, and yes, I'm ancient, and you know, I came up in journalism a long, long time ago, but it would be like, that is it. It is a career-ending thing to not to not have checked that fact, or for that to be wrong.
It absolutely is.
And now, it wouldn't. I don't think that it would make that much. But anybody could be a journalist. Think about that.
And you're coming from the perspective of a journalist,
I am.
But what about your question to the consumers? Like, why don't some consumers care?
Why do they
and
not
And I'm not going to say, like, every story I read, I just, I need to go and fact check this. It doesn't, right? There's certain places that I just trust that that work is being done. But there are other things where they may have some data and I just don't read through it.
You know, I think that goes to, and I know this is like for another podcast and we can talk about that some other time, but it goes to if it's that confirmation bias, you remember this, if what you say confirms what I already believe, then I'm not going to question it.
Right,
and you said that word, trust is such a huge, huge thing. If I trust you, then I don't care. I'm going to send it out into the world, you know, so I don't care. But it does matter. If it doesn't confirm your bias, if it forces you to think something really different or ask another question, that makes you uncomfortable. It's true. There is research that shows people feel truly uncomfortable when they have to, you know, ask those questions, and it just is wrong about everything they believe in. It's just completely, it goes against
it. Don't you believe that, though? I firmly believe this because I work in local news, that's where you're going to find the most integrity with news. Local news. You know,
absolutely.
I think even in the traditional national news, you can kind of feel a lean or a bit of an agenda, you know, even with the major networks. But I do feel in newsrooms that I've worked in, you have bosses who are right over you, and you have to make sure that you can tell them the source, and this is where the information came from, and that you are balanced in the story.
Yes, I completely agree with what you're saying. Unfortunately, there are fewer and fewer and fewer of them,
right?
Fewer sources, and now there are news deserts. There's like whole areas that have no news coverage of any kind, no TV stations, no. I mean, think about Youngstown, right? So Youngstown had the Vindicator, and then it had the TV stations, and now it doesn't have that, right?
So she knows she's a Youngstown person.
That's why I was looking at you, thinking, oh yeah, that's
right.
So
there's three TV stations in one building,
right?
Three
correct.
TV stations in one building, and then another TV station,
right? So I think the thing is, yes, I truly hope that you can trust your local news, but when that goes away, where does that leave you? It leaves you maybe with social media. It leaves you with questions that make you uncomfortable. It leaves you.
You said something. You said trust.
Trust.
And
oh,
so,
it's
like
huge.
Social, like I know, like if some a person like ruptured my trust, I know what that did. I know what that looks like. But how does that look like in media and news? Like I don't hear a lot of people are like, you know, this news channel ruptured my trust, and I'm wondering if that. Why do we see that more with people than we do news, when it sounds like we're seeing more mistrusting information on social media than we are actually people. I feel like people in my life are pretty trustworthy. Like, is that ironic?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
But I mean, I'm not sure I am the person to have that answer. I don't know. Maybe Catherine would have an answer. You know, why? I mean, I know that it happens. And it used to be tiny things. You probably remember, but I used to tell people, if you don't get my name right, I'm not going to trust you anything else you write or say. Now, I personally have had my name done a thousand different ways, you know. So, and this is my married name, so it's kind of an easy name. So, I mean, I hate to, you know, tell you how to do my actual maiden name, which is ethnic and very Italian and, you know, that kind of thing. But if you can't get that right, why should I trust you on this other thing?
I have a hypothesis. I think it's because we put a lot more energy into people before they burn us. I don't think we do the same with media. And I think a lot of the people have just decided either I'm going to just say, you know, I don't know if I trust it. It's not a major life decision. But I do think there's a lot of people who are like, I don't give a shit. They're saying what I want to hear. And so I trust it anyway. I don't think the average person has a high amount of media literacy where they understand what is actual fact, what's opinion. And I, you know, the trusted news sources, in my opinion, are still trusted news sources.
Right. If somebody
spells my name wrong, which has happened in a million interviews, mm-hmm. I just go, okay, this is a rinky-dink operation, and, you know, good for them. And
so
that's
they've chipped away a little bit at your trust.
But I was like, it's not like I was courting them and trying to, you know, propose the next month. It wasn't that much of a situation.
Well, what's scary about this conversation is what we're basically saying is that mistrusting the media is becoming just commonplace.
Oh, yes.
Almost like we're becoming blasé to it.
Right.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, one, there's a 24-hour news cycle. Imagine if the Pentagon Papers got printed modern day today. It would be today's story and tomorrow would be something else. That's how crazy it is. Something that was defining for an entire generation would be essentially like what happened with like a tweet. You know, it's like, oh, this happened. People are like, yeah, but I heard that my uncle works at the White House and he's the guy who pees in the bushes and gets drunk outside. He told me that actually, you know. So it's like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how much fact and data and everything else you have. People are going to ignore it because they just don't want it to be true. And the 24-hour news cycle just makes it that much worse because there's so much information coming at you that it's like, it can't all be true. I mean, somebody said, and I can't remember if you told me this or you did, in every single news article, there's some kind of nonsense. Mm-hmm. There's no such thing as a 100% factually thing because you're dealing with secondhand information sometimes. You can only source so much.
Yes.
And that... somebody like me goes, well, of course, that makes perfect sense. That's common sense. Mm-hmm. Somebody a little more pessimistic might go, well, then I don't trust the news anyway. So I'm going to watch this YouTuber and I'm going to get my news from him.
Well, if that journalist is attributing someone, you know, Joe Blow saying something crazy on the street, they're attributing it to them. It's not the journalist who's saying
it.
Although you do have to vet which sources you're going to be using.
Sure.
But sometimes in a breaking news situation, you just need to get the people around you and get the sense of what is happening out there from the eyes of the people who have witnessed it. Mm-hmm. And whether they're a crazy person or a rational person, this is your source at this event. Make sure, though, of course, that you attribute that this is not the reporter saying this. This is what the reporter is telling you this person is saying.
And I don't think people trust the media to be the filter anymore. They don't want anybody, they don't want Catherine Bosley to decide we're going to use this source and not this source. They're going to go straight to the YouTuber or straight to social media or straight somewhere and just get what they believe, what they already believe that confirms their bias. And they're just tired of the media being in the middle and they're just going to figure it out some other way. Where you and I and Matt and others would say, you know, we have this source and this source made sense and this is what this person said and this is contradictory and this is why, you know, don't need that anymore.
Like even when I agree with something, I read everything with that healthy amount of skepticism.
Which you should.
As you should. Like just because even if it's from the New York Times mm-hmm. and I know how they have to vet their sources and I know the amount of lengths they go to make sure that they're fact checked like crazy, I still read it with skepticism.
Sure.
Healthy That's skepticism.
Fair. Mm-hmm. Which you should.
I wonder how people would feel if I'm like, okay, you can't get news 24/7. You can only get it at 5 o'clock like we used to.
Yes.
Maybe that's aging all of us.
Yep.
But like that was it. It was like you had a shot at noon and you have a shot at 5, maybe 7. But that was it. And I wonder like if somebody feels anxious when we're saying you have very limited time when you can get news, like there's your sign that maybe we need to get a break. Unless obviously if it's related to your job, like there's a different variable.
Like, well, how do you define news is probably the most important part of that. Because I do understand, as we've been talking about with COVID, we were isolated. And so social media especially made us feel connected, reconnected with the people who we couldn't be around physically and see. But what you had for dinner is not news, right?
Some might debate that though, Matt. Come on.
Well, I don't know. Was it odd? Was it a rare thing? Did you eat an alien cat? Like what
obviously.
What was on the dinner table?
Well, I think also why do people need to share things? Like why do I think you would give a shit about what I ate for dinner? Is that because I mean, there's a whole other psychological thing. That's a whole hour.
Actually, you just teed it up, puffing up our
egos,
our
facade,
our sad lives.
Yeah.
Yes.
The social media issue is like, look how great my life is. Anyone who brags about how great their life is is typically the saddest person.
You can look at my Instagram feed. It is not but that's intentional. And not everybody has either the confidence that I know I have. I don't need anyone to be like, wow, your life's awesome. I know. Yeah. I don't want, that's almost weird.
My life's fun because I'm not spending time posting. Not that there's not importance with posting. Anyone who has to do self-promotion, totally get it. Go to the goingtherepodcast.com for more promotion on this show. So I get that, but there are a lot of issues with that.
You think?
That's probably 90% of what you... what you have to deal with. How come you were talking about like the FOMO piece or being jealous. It's like, how come I only have 90 pairs of sneakers. He has 91. Like, what the hell? Why can't I be here? Chris is obsessed with shoes, by the way.
I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't just make that up. That's not fake news.
I think so, too.
They're the social media.
Yeah.
Yes. Do you post about every single shoe?
No, I don't.
Yeah, why not? Is it even important to you if you don't post it? Did it even happen if it's not on social media?
They make me happy, and I just like to just kind of keep that.
Chris is
in my
I want to be Chris when I grow up.
Yeah.
Chris
is a happy guy.
That's a really healthy thing. Like,
I've been in therapy for a long time. So. Yeah. it's been helpful.
Way to go.
So you are the moderator here, but we were talking about...
Have at it.
You know, solution. Okay, so we sat here for this hour bitching, basically.
it was cathartic,
unpacking,
right? Was it cathartic?
Unpacking. So where are we going with this? Then where do we even think the solution might be coming from to get more trust in the media, to make watching and being part of the media less driving you crazy, you know, and where do we get back to something that's more centered? I'll tell you, journalists I know, they're on the streets and they're hated. I mean, reporters are in danger.
Yeah, dangerous.
And this is where it's like, wait, we need to pivot. We need to find a way to stop this craziness. Can we?
I actually, and I want to jump on that because it's, we talked about this and we talked about what we were going to talk about. And I'm so glad I'm sitting next to Dr. Y because I don't have the answer. I copied things out because I'm a good researcher and a good reporter. And I found this thing called hope fatigue. Mm-hmm. It's like, tell me what to do. Yeah. Because if I tell you, here's all the things that are bothering me. Yeah. And I don't even have the Browns on there because, it's like, oh, I gave up on that. Right. But like, oh my gosh. Yeah. Tell me about hope fatigue.
I think that's going to depend on everybody, your hope fatigue and everyone's hope fatigue is going to be different. And so do you have hope fatigue after you have 8 hours of news consumption?
Me? No, I can.
No.
Jan is a media masochist.
I'm a news junkie. Yeah. I confess. I do Wordle first and then I read all the headlines, right? So, I can read headlines for hours. I literally can get up at 6:30 and read headlines till 10 and never move.
So you're not having hope fatigue.
I'm not, but I know people who do.
I think that's an intentional thing. I think there's some people who almost desensitize to the media with the things that they're seeing. If it's live and then there's like, the trees falling on the newscaster and they're like, I want to see someone in a tornado now because that wasn't, enticing enough. Like that's concerning, right? Like that's also like we can go into the science of cortisol's being ramped up and whatnot. But I think it's very individualized of like, why am I eating? Why am I talking to this person? Why am I doing, what am I buying this? What is the purpose? What is that you know, what is that doing for me? How do I know when I've had enough? And so being, again, being curious about our own selves and being intentional with that is that, okay, I'd really like to know what's going on with Russia. Mm-hmm. How do you know when you have found enough information?
Right.
But being kind of having a plan, like in mental health, we say we have a plan of knowing when we're going to go do that. You know, I'm going to find out, you know, just enough about the madness about Kanye right now, just so I can have a conversation
I
with
have
clients,
Kanye on the
right?
List. Yeah.
But it's sometimes it's important to have some information so we can engage right with people. So how do I? What do I need to know? So that I feel like enough, my intention is to be able to talk with clients that I can, oh yeah, I've heard about that. Mm-hmm. So I think just being able to go, what am I looking for and how do I know when it's enough, right? Mm-hmm. Because essentially then if we feel like we're starving, you go to a buffet, like you're gonna get sick, you know? And so that for everybody is gonna be very different.
Listen up, if you go to a media buffet.
I go to a media, I have a media buffet.
I know.
My media buffet does, it used to include some very not quite my ideology, you know, sources.
Absolutely.
But it, once again, it was like, oh, that's so depressing. I don't believe that. I know that's not true. You know, I can't really include that, even though I want to be so open-minded about it, you know, like that kind of thing.
And I think, so what you're getting at, Jen, is the kind of the micro level and the macro level, which kind of, I think what you were hinting at, Catherine, is like as a society, how do we do this as well?
Right, right.
And I really think we need to redefine media and journalism. And almost like when you buy cigarettes and they say this might kill you, we need to have warning labels on opinion. Right. I think we need to start labeling what it is. I don't think, for example, Fox News should be able to call some of their shows news when they know and they fought in court that, well, this isn't actually news, this is opinion. I don't think you should be able to put the word news in front of things that aren't news.
CNN is guilty of that as well, just to be fair.
Oh, you know, believe me, I will not sit here and say that anybody is great. Yeah, both sides of it, and the problem is, when they actually do put out actual news, people are like, no, but they're biased.
Right,
there's
they're
always
biased.
There's
yeah.
always going to be bias because of the dollars that go into it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that there needs to be, I don't know, maybe at your local library, media literacy classes taught that are no kind of partisan interjection whatsoever.
What are those charts? I've seen them before. They're charts, and it shows like what is more neutral news mm-hmm. and what is like it was
oh,
like,
yeah.
Yeah,
like NPR.
Mm-hmm.
Like
yeah.
And I think just more people knowing that and understanding
and
that.
And at least knowing that what they're reading is biased and has a skew.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Because you can't say, well, the liberal media.
Right.
And then realize that what you're watching, you know, you're reading Breitbart is far right. It's like, of course you see the media as liberal. And there is a lot of super liberal media, but when you have the more neutral agencies, they do. They make those charts and it pretty much says, and really it comes down to who owns it.
Mm-hmm, it does.
And who's paying the bills.
And money, exactly.
Right, 'cause, yeah. I mean, really, if anyone has enough money, they can go out there and make their own, be their own news outlet and do anything they want, have
yeah.
their agenda. That's the reality with our internet world and our cable world. You know, there is no FCC mm-hmm. that's watching what everybody's doing. There's
right.
hardly any regulation online. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can lie about people and there's just nothing. It's freedom of speech.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just, and it's damaging. And then, in fact, a big part of what I do in my speaking is making that very clear to people how, you know, it's forever and for all to see what's out there, no matter what people say,
yeah.
whether it's true or not. How do you rise above when your online image is getting attacked?
Ugh. Yeah. So when Dr. Y is posting like, love my life, hashtag blessed, you're like,
man, I knew
bullshit.
You were on my Instagram this week. I think something of people to know being intentional, like if you're like, okay, today I want to be more neutral and I want to not be one side or the other side. I really want to be neutral. And you start, you know, gathering information from those newscasters that are, you know, those news channels that are on that graph. You may have to completely delete all of your social media and your history and start over.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
what we recommend a lot
they
of people.
Because they know exactly what you're reading
absolutely.
And why.
Absolutely. And so some people might feel frustrated that like, okay, well, I got this ad from this and but I'm trying to be more in the middle. Like, I've had clients, you have to completely delete everything
yeah.
and clear your cache, clear everything and start over if you really want to be intentional.
But your digital footprint is not going to go away that easy, sadly.
No, no. But if you want to like kind of create a new kind of manifestation of like, I want to get news and I want to get, you know, a happy news and I want to get a far left and I want to get a far right and I want to get a middle. And I know what all of those look like. Right. And I'm creating this so that I can get a variety, whatever that is that you want. You know, people may have to kind of delete and start over if they're using some sort of feed. You know, I think, do you have to do that? No, but I think there's also that, like we're saying, that danger of just scrolling and being like, oh yeah, Bobby Sue said this, that must be news. And you're like, well, that diminishes the journalistic integrity of people who are out there. It's like—
Who are real journalists.
Absolutely. Out
there, yes. Have you seen a drop in people going into the journalism field?
Yeah, I can tell you for a fact that enrollment in the journalism school and program at Kent is way, way down.
Right. And we're to the point where big markets, now they're hiring people that only have a little bit of experience because there's just not that pool.
Not enough. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, the dream job that so many people would want to get. And now, it's kind of like when they were, the FBI had to lower their standards of who they bring in because they didn't have enough people. Like, okay, so you used
that's
to be
exactly
a crack dealer.
Happening.
Fine. That's fine. Come on in. We'll put you in the narcotics department. Yeah, it's really sad, and because I think the term journalist has been demonized by people who hate being called out. Our last line of defense from corruption, especially of any kind of political party or political figure, are the journalists. And they might not. We're not going to have a Woodward.
Right. We were the fourth. We were basically the fourth branch of government. Yeah. We're the watchdogs.
Like your children or their children. If propaganda isn't the media at that point in time, there's going to be no defense between them and people just doing stuff, because in recent times, lots of politicians have just completely de-legitimized the media to their constituents, because it's like, anybody who writes that about me, that's fake news, it's bullshit. And that's really, really—
Who are we talking about in particular?
There's, to say it's one person would be a lie.
It's true.
Lots of people. You're right. In fact, I was looking at how historians rate the presidents and everything, and there is scandal and lies in every single presidency.
Oh, goodness. Yes.
And of course, we all know that, but like, not just little things. There's huge things in every presidency.
Go back to JFK.
Yeah, exactly.
My goodness. And, you know, he's seen as still as a hero, but my goodness, if you go to Massachusetts and kind of get an idea of all the history surrounding the Kennedys.
Oh, yeah.
I guess I was ignorant about that until we just went out there.
You idolize the Kennedys.
Ago.
Yeah, I don't. When I think Kennedys, I think drunks and scandals.
Oh,
and,
my goodness. Yeah. Yes.
My theory's always been, you go far enough in politics, you've had to make so many backdoor deals that your hands aren't clean anyway. But we need, you know, even when I read something that I don't agree with, you know, even if I voted for this person and a news source that they don't 100% agree with prints something, I want. Like, I need to know that people, even if they're not on the same side of the political aisle as me, are going to hold those same politicians accountable.
Yes.
I think journalists have a harder time with that, though, because right now in this current cycle, you're seeing some candidates say, we're not going to debate. We're not going to have any debate.
That,
you know what? I
is
feel like,
insane.
Wait a minute. Wait. I'm the voter. I would like to hear what you have to say. I would like to hear both sides of this thing. And now you're taking that. You're taking the chance. That
but you know
away
why? Because they don't have to waste their breath. Because I've already got these voters regardless.
And they're going to go to a certain, you know, ideological spectrum and stay right there. Well, wait a minute. If I don't catch you on that, which I may or may not be likely to do, I'm lost. I'm not lost. I mean, I feel very informed, right?
Jan, you're not. If anyone's not lost, it's you.
But
you're in the war room
I
with your 17
like
TVs.
Everybody deserves
the truth.
A debate.
Well, and everybody, even if I wholeheartedly disagree with your political, social, all of your outlooks, you deserve the same truth and facts that I do. Mm-hmm. I don't care what it is.
But who said you're entitled? Wait, I'm going to get this wrong. So somebody will have to look it up and fact check me.
You're entitled to your own opinions. You're not entitled to your own facts.
Right, you're not entitled to your own facts. So it's
was
like,
I wrong?
Yes.
I didn't want to
say that. No, that was actually,
that was, like,
that was,
that
was spot on.
Yeah, that was really
good.
See, who said that?
You did.
No,
I don't know. Look
no,
at me dispelling
I think
fake
it was
news,
like
right?
Tip O'Neill or somebody
yeah,
like
I don't
that.
Know.
Yeah, something like
so,
that.
So you guys have all touched on it, and I think there is no right or wrong answer for any one person, but I do believe that it's really important that each of us as individuals and as citizens and just fellow humans owe it to the other people that were around to be informed, to a point of actual facts and information. But we owe it to ourselves to stay sane and mentally healthy. And Chris, you touched on it really early. It's just kind of like, what do I want to give my energy to? And I think there is a difference between, you know, like sometimes I read headlines. I'm like, that's enough. Mm-hmm. Enough to like make small talk and say, okay, yes, I realize there's a hurricane coming in. I don't know that if, you know, I'm not saying that we should get to a point of cognitive dissonance where it's like, if it doesn't affect me, I don't give a shit, because that's what we've already been living through for the last 3 years. But I think to be able to get to a place where it's like, I don't need to know every single fact about this news story, right, but I still need to know what's happening in my world, and especially locally. So is it just moderation? Is it balance? Is it?
I think, I don't know if anyone lives with anybody else. Does anyone live with anyone else?
Yeah. We're all cat owners, and we all live by ourselves.
I have cats.
Alien cats.
No cats as well. You hate cats, did you
no,
say?
No, alien
oh.
cats.
Oh, alien cats. Alien cats.
I have no cats. But if anyone has friends or lives with anybody, I mean, you're.
I love that she questioned whether or not we had friends. No, what's that like?
Well, okay, I'm trying to be broad, right, and not be like, well, I have a family and cats, and you know. But I'm thinking, okay, so like I have a family, right, and every day there's news, but every day each of us leave the house most of the time, and we come back and we've lived a different day without each other, and there are 5 news sources in my home. And the most important news to me, outside of the world, I don't want to be ignorant, but I want to know what's going on with the people in my world. And I want to know. And I think we have a hard enough time as individuals, what happened with me? How am I feeling? What's going on? And to muddy that and muddy the and choose news over the relationships, choose the news of the people in our lives, I think that's a disservice. And so I think if you are not connecting with the people in your life and you're looking at news all the time, if that's important to you, then you do you, boo. But I think, well, how do you know if that's been enough? Is that, do you know more about the news, or do you know more about the people you live with?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that speaks to empathy and basic compassion. And I do think that that would go a long way if people even had that, because it's hard for you to watch the news and say, this person's dying of COVID, and not care if somebody close to you is experiencing it. Mm-hmm. So I do think that that's a really great place to start. It's just having... putting interest in other people's lives that aren't your own worries. I'm sure that's like rule number one with therapy is like, take the worry off you, go do something for somebody else. But being able to look at it in a way that says like, I can empathize with you, I have compassion. And so when I read this, whether or not I might agree with it, I wonder what that felt like to go through it. Catherine, what would you recommend to people who've lost their faith, want to stay informed, but don't want to lose their shit and be combing their hair with their shoe every night?
You know, I think that once you get to the point of when you're watching news and there's anger that sets in, because either you disagree with what's being reported or you think it's a lie, you need to pull back, check yourself, and understand how important is this really, that it's going to let it affect you and that this anger is going to get out into society. So I think that once you start to feel that anger when you're watching news, something is wrong, whether it's with you, how you're interpreting it or how it's being delivered to you. You got to feel like you can watch news and just take it and be okay. You know, and so if you're not watching a news source that you don't have that happening, then I think that there's certainly an issue.
Jan, as somebody who knows everything that's going on right up until this very moment in time, in fact, you might even know what I'm going to eat for breakfast tomorrow morning at this point, what would you recommend to your average media consumer, and what do they need to be doing for their own self-care?
I think they should not be like me. That's number one.
Yes.
Because nobody really, I mean, you and I are probably a lot more alike. Right. But I think you should think about what your sources are and how varied the sources are. You know, check in with them and then let it go. You know, I never let it go because I'm just always fascinated by how did that sound and how was that fair and who said that. But most people, I think, can look at headlines and then say, okay, I've had enough of that. Take a step away and then do something totally different. Yeah. Like during COVID, so I was teaching journalism online, and you know, that is not my kind of teaching, right? So it was very weird. So I started a raised bed garden, you know, I was like, man, my tomatoes are amazing, you know, so I mean, I am outside, I am doing something, it's not that, right? It's not that. So I think it's important to set a limit. I don't know if you would recommend that.
Absolutely.
But I would, or turn your push notifications off.
Absolutely.
I recently got a new phone and I was like, oh, do I want bubbles or do I want dots? You know, like, oh, wait a minute. Maybe I won't do any. Maybe I'll just have to physically go press on it, you know. Or do I need the BBC News? How often do I look at that one? You know, that kind of thing. So, you know, I think you should set a limit, a time limit, a source limit, check your fact limit, give yourself something else, keep a sense of humor. Right. You know, I'm not good with that, but I think it's important.
It's very no, you're absolutely right. It's so important to take a step back and say, you know, not everything is the end of the world. Not everything is that. Like, yeah, this person you're reading about might piss you off or something, but it's like, it's not changing anything in your life
world
in this moment.
Right. And that's why I say that the anger, anxiety, those are just two things. And when those start to set in because you're watching news, something is wrong and you just need to redial.
Well, the recommendation that I think I give in every episode, and I'll give it again, go to therapy. I mean, everyone should be in therapy.
That's great advice, Matt. Thank you.
It really is. So where can they find you, Dr. Y? Yeah.
So I own the Cole Center. We have an office in Brecksville in Cuyahoga Falls and do telehealth therapy. We can see anybody in Ohio so because of telehealth. So I have a beautiful, wonderful, talented team of clinicians and psychiatry and tutors. So I'm always happy to answer emails or answer questions if people have any questions about that.
Is it Cole spelled like Nat King Cole?
The Cole, C-O-L-E center.com. We have Instagram and I'm not really good at it. And
I'm not good at it either. I
have
like
a website.
And her Instagram is not news. So
not news.
Thank you everyone for joining this conversation. I think this was a really important topic and discussion, especially from very educated standpoints. This was the hardest panel to put together because everyone's lives have been so busy and then COVID. So this has been the only one that we tried to do and then couldn't do it and had to. So this has been on my wish list from the get-go. And you all were as amazing as I assumed you were going to be. Jan especially. She is just a wealth of knowledge. Because she can't stop consuming information. So what is not fake news is you can listen to our podcast on all the streaming services and you can check out all of these shows in bright, beautiful HD colors on our YouTube page. And if you have any questions, you can visit thegoingtherepodcast.com. And in the meantime, before next episode, we'll be deep in therapy. Thank you. While you're at it, give us a rating. Share with a friend and subscribe. And thanks to our musician spotlight, The Wally Sanga, at thewallysanga.com. And for Instagram, you can check them out at Sheriff Arif, that's Sheriff A-R-I-F-F, and at The Wally Sanga.
This podcast is made possible by its hosts and Frame One Media in association with Joe Calley and Bobby Thomas.